episode 319, September 4th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Robbie just starts our intro as Marcus and Joe are having a heated discussion about some rock star I've never heard of.
You never heard of Colin Hay for Men at Work?
I've heard of Men at Work, but I couldn't have told you his name or anyone involved with that group's name.
Robbie, you couldn't have said we're starting?
I did.
Nobody
kept talking.
So before the show, Robbie says that Russian hackers hacked his Skype.
They got you, huh, Robbie?
So they hacked our election, and now they've moved on to Robbie Robinson's Skype handle.
Well, they went from 1 to 1A. All right. We got the presidency. Let's get the Rob and Joe Show.
Is it possible, Joe, that they got wind of Robbie's amazing Bachelor and Bachelorette predictions and figure they could get in, find them out for next time, and just parlay that into millions?
Can I say this? I did see that there was a message from Robbie, so I looked at it, and it's gibberish. It's not Russian, but it's, you know, just a bunch of symbols and letters that don't make sense.
Well, I got a new friend request from Robbie, and I thought, you know, how are we not Skype?
I accepted it.
Should so did I.
God.
Are we done?
Oh, God.
What's happening?
Oh, God. They
are we
got
in
it.
Trouble?
It's that I set up another account just in case I couldn't get back into the old one, but I got back into the old one, so we're good.
Oh, thank God. I thought the Russians got us.
Man, it would have been
the only way for me to get out of this is just with jeans. I got to buy a bunch of pair of blue jeans and give them up to them.
Maybe it's the Russians are trying to find a way to get our bonus show for free. Maybe that's part of it. We just recorded another bonus show. We're just on a roll here, folks. And Joe got very heated. And you're coming into this in an angry mood off of that show.
Well, I walked out, as everyone knows, I'm temporarily, you know, at my parents' house. Katie and I are here while we're house shopping. And
well,
I come
actually,
out.
You never told people that you're now officially there. So it's a big announcement that you neglected this week.
I mentioned on the show I was coming here, and I've been here. The last show, I was here. So I've been here now. And that was the day after I moved in. Of course, Robbie then shit all over me. Like, I can't believe you're not prepared. That would have been the first thing. I literally moved my life from one place to another. I had all the same equipment that I had when I used to do the show. But somehow, I'm still screwed up. It doesn't matter. But when I walked out after recording the bonus show, my father's like, is everything okay? He thought I was just in here screaming at somebody. He didn't know we were doing a show.
Did you take a deep breath? You got yourself right?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm all good.
So I asked you guys pre-show. By the way, we're going to do our annual Super Bowl picks. We have a lot to talk about for our exciting murder mystery this past Saturday at McGoobie's. But I asked you guys pre-show if you could think of, if this ever happened to you, where there was a time in your life where you were legitimately scared for your safety. Not, you know, you're in a horror movie and it's scary, or someone jumps out and says boo, or you're in some haunted house supposedly, but in actual, you fear like you're in danger. Because I had something that happened to me last night, Sunday night, that would fit that.
I do. So here's what I have. When I was in band in the sixth grade. You know, it was cool to be in band in middle school, but it wasn't cool in high school. Isn't that weird? They're only 1 year apart. But when you were in the band in middle school, it was cool. All the cool kids were in the band. But I played drums and I suck. Anyway, they had these practice rooms. They were soundproof. And our teacher, I'm trying to remember the name of her, or I guess she's the conductor. But anyway, she got ill or something. She was out for like 6 months. So she was gone. And of course they had a substitute and it was just chaos. You know, when you have a substitute for band, this person didn't know how to play instruments. This was just some person who came in.
Right.
And then, you know, it's like Lord of the Flies. It isn't like a class, which is already bad enough. There's many more kids in band and we're just different instruments and noises and all kinds of stuff. Well, anyway, we were back, me and my friend Larry Russo, God rest his soul, he's dead. We were climbing on top of the practice rooms. Okay. Now, the practice rooms were probably, I don't know, maybe 9 feet in the air. Mm-hmm. And I got it, maybe eight. I might be exaggerating. 8 or 9. But I'm a little kid, you know, as well documented on the show. I didn't go through puberty until the end of my junior year, the beginning of my senior year of high school. Anyway, so I climb up on there and I realize, you know, I can't fucking get down. I can't get down from this thing. So I'm like, well, you know, eventually if a teacher comes and finds me, I'm going to get in trouble. But I mean, I can't risk my life to try to get off of this thing. And I probably was up there. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate because, you know, who knows as what a sixth grader's mind thinks is 5 minutes could feel like an hour. But I'll bet I was up there for 15 minutes. And then eventually I just said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to get down.
That's how long you lasted.
I was going to.
I'm out of water and food.
I thought I was going to risk my life. And I remember I came down. And by the way, the drop. I mean, I was probably 5 feet tall, but it was so I was hanging off with my arms extended. It was probably a 2 foot drop.
Right.
Right. But I came off and I remember hitting the other practice room so loud when I came down. There was this girl in there. Actually, her name was Becky. I don't remember her last name, but I think Robbie dated her when we were. Remember that girl, Robbie? She had big boobs.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did date a girl named Becky in early high school.
Yeah, she was in the same grade as me, and she came out. She goes, "What are you guys doing?" Like she thought I was just banging on the side of my body.
But you didn't hurt yourself at all, apparently.
No, I'm okay. Hey, you're not gonna believe this. My the same issue I had last week. I thought I plugged my computer in, but I didn't. So if my I'm gonna hold on, just keep talking, Rob.
Okay, Robbie, do you have a story
about being scared?
Because that story that Joe just told was very Dr. Gill-ish. It wasn't that exciting.
Yeah, that was a Dr. Gill. No, I can't remember an instance where I was really afraid for my life. No, I can't think of one.
Marcus?
Yes, I was in a car accident and I had a because I fell asleep at the wheel and when my eyes opened up, I was heading, you know, I could see the guardrail basically aimed for my head and in a split second made a jerk move with the steering wheel and was able to slide it between a guardrail and a lamppost. But it was still
Jesus Christ.
Slid the car, took out a bunch of fencing and ended up in a creek. And yeah, so there was a moment there. I thought it was all going to come to an end.
When was that?
That was back in 1991.
All right. Joe, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So last night, I am by myself. I am at BJ's Brewhouse, which is a restaurant
that
Tawana BJ's. And I have become very fond of. They've got good specials. They've got good food. They're open late, so sometimes if I'm out later, I can stop there. And I am by myself. I'm eating, and I'm going to get a to-go order for Tawanda. So I'm at the far end of the bar, as farthest away at the bar you could be from the front door, and I'm right next to basically the kitchen and this little service station where they're making the drinks and giving them to the servers. So someone in the very front of the restaurant where you walk in, right where the hostess station is, yells, "There's someone in here with a gun. He has a gun. There's a guy with a gun in the building." Yeah. So we're like, what? We all get down. And then nothing happens. And it's weird because people don't know, is this a joke? Because no one has said anything.
Not very
since.
Funny.
Right. But it's still bizarre. So I like peek up. Some people are down. The guy's like telling his kids, get under the table. And I look up. The bartenders are still standing. They're looking. It's not clear what's happening. And then a server runs by back where I am. And it's a different voice. He says, "I've seen the guy has a gun. There's a guy in here. Get down. He's got a gun." And he's now I'm hearing it from him as if he's seen the gun. So it's taking up a new level of this is real. And so then I'm like, get down. Why would I get down? The kitchen's right here. So I just run through the kitchen and then he yells, "Get out." Not to me to get out, but everyone to get out of the place. So I run. I'm the first person out, basically.
Hey, free meal.
Yeah, no. The kitchen staff, I bump into one guy. They follow me. So they're all out. They're like, "Get the fuck out of here." It's like I realized if I fell, I was going to get trampled. So we get out. I don't know where I'm going, obviously. I've never been through the kitchen in the back. So we get outside. Everyone's out there. People are like, "Well, now there's someone shooting us. We're all in the open. What do we do now?" And I don't know what to do. And now I realize that I've left my cell phone on the bar, which I'm sort of pissed about. I'm like, "Fuck." So the cops show up. No one knows what's happening. And I'm like, "Well, I can't call Tawanda on my phone. It's unclear what's happening." So then the kitchen people are like, "Shit, we got to turn off the fryers. My fryer's on." So now I'm like, "Oh, great. We're going to have a fire." I'm just thinking of my cell phone at this point.
Yeah, my phone's going
to
be ruined.
Right. So it didn't occur to you
to get in your car and wait it out?
Well, it did. But I felt like just being around all those people seemed like the thing to do because I'm trying to get information. You see, as I got away from it, I was thinking if someone was in there to shoot us, they would have started shooting. They wouldn't have, you know, once the guy yelled he has a gun, there would be shooting, right? So that made me think that there's some sort of dispute was happening between two people. So then the cops show up. One of the kitchen people goes in and he comes out and goes, "Yeah, it's the cops. They got somebody. Apparently there was right next door at Buffalo Wild Wings. There was an incident in there where two people had gotten into an incident and it carried over. I don't know if one guy left and went into BJ's and the other guy followed. But one guy was loose and the other guy was in handcuffs." So I'm like, "Well, can I go in? I get my phone." So then I go in and I get my phone and I realize, well, now that I'm in here, I can't like walk out on the check because it's there, right? So I finished my beer and paid my tab and left.
But how was it warm?
No, I mean this only, you know, was like 10 minutes later.
I wonder how many people got a free meal. You're probably one of the only ones that didn't.
I made a point to tell them that too. I got my pizza in a box and I, you know, but there was like 12 cops there. There was a helicopter came out that's looking for this other guy. The cops were writing out everyone's license plates. I mean, I saw the guy in cuffs as I walked out.
But which was more scary, Rob? This incident or the time where Joe texted you from a strange number that I'm watching you?
Oh, I forgot all about that. And he thought it was his neighbor.
Well, that was this was more of a just this is happening so fast. I don't know what's happening. But when we were running
Clearly
out,
that
we,
was
were,
scarier,
we, were,
right?
we were running yeah. out like we were scared. Because there's when the first when somebody yelled he's got a gun at first, I was like, okay, this is bad. But you weren't quite sure. But when the waiter yelled it and he seemed to like be telling everyone we need to get down and get out, then that made me think, okay, well, there's definitely someone in here with a gun. So I don't know if this is related, but later on that night, someone did get shot in Colombia. I don't know if that was the other person that got away, but it was weird.
Did you scour the internet to see, you know, details?
I did, and I didn't find anything, which sort of upset me. I wanted it to be
no big deal.
Yeah. But I got my cell phone, and I paid my check, but then I couldn't order Tawana her to-go meal, so...
Oh, you actually lucked out. That's a pretty good excuse, right?
Right. Here I am thinking she's going to be texting me, where are you? Where are you? And I'm going to be able to come in and say, yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't get back to you, but there was a guy with a gun.
Oh, that would have been good if she started yelling at you. Like, I've been texting you. Blah, blah, blah. I'm so sorry. This is what happened. Would she feel guilty or would she be like, oh, okay.
No, I think I would have... I would have won that little debate. I would have been a little check mark for me, in the win column. But there you go. You know, BJ's Brewhouse, a brouhaha happened. So,
I was talking about sliding off of a sound booth.
Yeah, we called your story a Dr. Gill when you were out.
Hey, I made that up.
I know, and I didn't give you credit.
Oh, that's, you didn't give me credit.
Oh, wow, that's reminds us of the bonus show we just recorded.
At least give me credit for that. You know, even if my story was a Dr. Gill, at least give me credit for a shitty story being called. Actually, a Dr. Gill isn't just a shitty story. A Dr. Gill is when you say, hey, I have a story about running over a dog. And the story is you ran over a dog, meaning what you say you have a story about is the entire story. That's a Dr. Gill.
I have a story about hitting every red light on the way to work. What happened? Well, every time there was this light, it was red.
Dr. Gill.
Speaking of Dr. Gill, after all that feedback we gave him, he still wants to do a private call between he and I. I'm like, what? No, that I feel like on Seinfeld where he loses the bet and then he takes him out Banyan for soup. No, that was the meal. That was the meal. That was the feedback, Dr. Gill.
Are you doing it?
Yes, I'll do it.
Does he want me to be part of that as well?
He specifically said without Joe, I believe. Let me see if I get the verbiage.
Speaking of comedy, I took the stage. I did do comedy, I guess, with Justin not too long ago, but this was a real show, and I kind of... I painted myself in a corner. Here's what happened. At McGoobies, we did the Murder Mystery McGoobies on Saturday. There was a comic, Timmy Hall, that Rob and I both worked with probably double-digit times,
sure,
who was going to be there on Friday. And Rob was going to do guest sets to try to get people to the Murder Mystery the following day. By the way, I think that worked. I think some people that were there the day before did come out.
I agree.
Anyway, so Rob said, hey, I was going to do a guest set. Now I'm featuring. Andrew forgot to book an MC and a feature. And I'm not even thinking, I go, you want me to host? I mean, literally, I don't know why I said that. I didn't want to host. I'm like, hey, okay, well, I'll be part of that too. I don't know why. There was no benefit. The money for the hosting sucks. You are already there to promote. There's no really, I have to drive all the way from where I live to Timonium. There was no, as soon as I said it, I'm like, oh, what am I thinking? But within 5 minutes, you're like, okay, you're hosting. I was like, oh, are you serious? Then I called you to try to get out of it, and I couldn't. I had already, it was done.
It was locked
in. Once I said it, I was locked in. So I ended up having a great time. I really did. It felt good to get on stage because, you know, I literally done comedy once in a year, and that was that show with Justin at the Comedy Factory. But this was a real show, you know what I mean? With the, you know, and hosting, and not to go too inside, but hosting sucks. It sucks. Really, the people haven't laughed one time yet when you go up there. You also have to do announcements here's your exit tickets and talk about drawings. I mean, there's a lot of work that you have to do that doesn't involve being funny. Also, you're supposed to be clean. And I said, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Okay. I'm already doing something that I shouldn't be doing.
You're also supposed to not do all crowd work.
Right. But it felt the first show was fine, but the second show I got my footing and I forgot how much I love stand up, which I really, really do. Maybe I'll start doing more of it because I really do love it. And I forgot, I guess, how good I am at it. I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit. But yeah, I had a blast. I really had a blast being on stage on Friday at McGoobies.
Sorry to interrupt. Graham's said something. I don't even want to read it. It's so upsetting. What something that happened to him today that frightened him. We got to get him out of the city, the Baltimore City, Joe.
What, did somebody pull a gun on him or something?
No, it's just.
Well, good tease of somebody.
Yeah.
Can't
hey,
tell.
Dr. Gill, you gonna read it or not?
Well, he walked through a scary group of eight thugs, and I was like, well, why not go cross the street or something? You know?
Did they say something to him?
How about not? Don't work in that city anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, Baltimore isn't. It's not a dangerous city. It is the most dangerous city in the United States. If you take all factors, it is the most dangerous major city in the United States. And my father, who, listen, I know as he wears it, and we got to get back to what we're actually talking about. It's a source of pride for him to have just worked in that city for so long and really just become part of the, you know, the scenery there. They don't, I guess he prides himself on not having that occur to him or not having that happen to him, the threat of what would happen to somebody normally in that circumstance. Okay, well, you did it. You succeeded. You've been successful in business and also successful in not getting robbed in the most dangerous city in America. It's time to stop. You need to hang up your debit book. It's done. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, is there a plan for him to retire? I mean,
yes, death. That's his plan.
Seriously, though, you got to get him. Can he do this in Annapolis?
Well, no, he can't do what he does in Annapolis. He can't, you know, because he's already built up a book of sorts. But sometimes you're like, hey, you know what? I've thumbed my nose at death long enough. It's time to stop. Now, my father is there during the, you know, 9 a.m. to, you know, 2 or whatever. So, yes, it's the safest time to be there. He's not there at night and he's home before rush hour. But still, I mean, at some point, by the way, you know how many times somebody gets murdered every day in Baltimore? You know how many times?
Every day, right?
Once a day.
Yeah.
Once a day, someone gets murdered. And now here's a man in his 70s that, by the way, he wears a suit to work. So it looks like he has money. I mean, everything that you shouldn't do, be white, wear a suit, walk into the most dangerous cities in Baltimore.
Be old.
Yeah, right. Be look vulnerable.
Unable to defend yourself.
Right. Everything you shouldn't do, he's
have somebody's wife hitting on you.
right, hitting on the somebody's, exactly. Anyway, so I think about that, and I'm like, really, eventually, he's going to get marked. Now, granted, he's been doing it for 50 years, and I know he's going to use precedence as the reason that, hey, this isn't going to happen. Look at my life. Okay, well, eventually, the bill comes due. Eventually, they are going to roll him for whatever he's got. They are. And whether or not he has any money on him, it's inconsequential. That doesn't mean they're not going to shoot him, because guess what? They shoot someone every day.
You're missing probably one of the most important aspects of the work that he does, though. I mean, it might be one of the most dangerous places to be. It might be one of the most dangerous jobs because of the place that he's in. But nobody on this planet gets more booby picks than your father. Nobody gets flashed more often than your old man in the work that he does. So it's like, what's more important, the possibility of getting shot or the possibility of getting tail?
I hope my father is not doing this to get pictures of the breasts that I've seen. Yeah. That certainly isn't worth it. Okay.
All right. Can we get some of the women in our life and some of our listeners, we have our girlfriends, we've got, you know, Merle Rogers. Maybe I can get Walker Hayes. Can you guys send Gramps, if he promises to get out of the city and do different work or retire, can you send him some boob pics?
Yeah, that's a fair thing. To save an old man's life, you're not going to show your boobs? Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're not super proud of your boobs, don't worry about it. I'm telling you, what I saw is going to be worse than whatever you're going to send.
Yeah, instead of a GoFundMe, it's like a Go Jugs Me. How many do we have to show Gramps in order to get him to quit?
Go Flash Me.
Yes.
Yeah, can Katie just accidentally, you know, walk into the kitchen topless? Oh, I didn't realize you were making coffee.
Gramps, what's the number? Gramps, what's the number? Tell us in chat.
All right, what were we talking about before that? Before we got derailed,
we were talking about you getting back on the comedy horse. No, you were hilarious, and it was fun to see you up there. I love watching you do your thing and tell your jokes, and they were, it was, it was fun that we got to do that. And I think it did help our promotion of the murder mystery. So let's take a break and then we'll talk about all the details with that. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Jealousy, revenge, and a movie stunt gone horribly wrong. Hi, it's Justin from the 98 Rock Morning Show, and I'm not describing my weekend. I'm talking about the newest murder mystery from Die Laughing Productions, Halloween Whodunit. You've seen me play detective, a reality TV show judge, and even Marty McFly. Well, this time, I play M. Night Shyamalamadamadalamadaloom, the world's most celebrated film director, working on his new horror project. When someone is killed on the movie set, I go from directing the actors and cameramen to directing a murder investigation. And as always, you can play a part in solving the crime too, and maybe even play one of the suspects. Be a part of the mayhem and hilarity for which Die Laughing Productions has become renowned. Halloween Whodunit, don't miss it.
Debuting October 8th at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit dielaughingproductions.com.
Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So we did two shows Saturday night of Back to the 80s at Magoobie's Joke House. And this was by far our most successful weekend. We had, you know, we've had big crowds, but this was the biggest crowds we've had where they were all paid, basically.
Yeah.
It wasn't like discounts and deals. I mean, we had a sold out show, the first show, and 2/3 full the second show.
So I think, and this is what I'm most happy about, I think when we paid everybody, well, sorry, we got a check, and then that check, since it's Labor Day, we won't be able to pay people until Wednesday of this week, but it will be the most we've ever paid our cast, which yes. I love that, yes. Right? I mean, you definitely want people to know how much they're appreciated, and that's really the best way. Just saying thank you doesn't work. So I'm very grateful for that. But the first show, not one more seat was available. No, every single seat was filled.
Yeah, I had said, oh, we're not going to be able to fit everybody. Because, you know, look full, and then you look, there's still a line to get in. But somehow they managed to do it. So, yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, we did Magoobie's last summer for a Friday and Saturday. And we put on good shows, but there wasn't any crowd like this, and there were more gives. And I think we bit off more than we can chew doing two nights. And I think we've kind of found, at least for the immediate future, the best way to do this on a Saturday, just one Saturday, occasionally, two shows.
Yeah. Make it more of an event. I mean, sure, when we debut our shows, we like the Halloween show, we're going to do it on a Sunday.
Right.
But yeah, every maybe 4 to 5 months, we do one Saturday, we do two shows. You know, guess what? 500 people came out, 500 plus people came out to see our show on Saturday. God, it was super exciting to see. This is what I dreamt.
Yeah. No, I think it's going bigger than what we dreamed, because we have positioned ourselves now as we are. First of all, it's an hilarious show. So taking that aside, from a business standpoint, we are a more profitable show for the club than basically anybody who's not a famous comedian. So yeah, if it's a local headliner, no, we're going to be more profitable. If it's somebody that they have credits, but no one really knows, we're going to be more profitable. I mean, if it's somebody like somebody famous, obviously that's going to be different. Jim Norton or somebody. But
I think we'll beat Tom Arnold.
I think we just might.
Oh, I guarantee you we'd beat Tom Arnold. I guarantee. Well, that was one of the things I really appreciated, because, you know, Andrew, and if you listen to the bonus show, we give him some mentions there as well. But, you know, and not to mention any names, but, you know, we kind of broke off with one club to go back to Magoobie's and try to do what we wanted to do with the other club. And a lot of times these owners try to leverage themselves. They never want to let you know how successful something is, because then they lose whatever leverage they have, or they think that they do. But really, yeah, I guess we're businessmen, but really we're not. We're performers that happen to have a business. But we're performers, and performers respond to positive feedback. That's the reason we do it.
Sure.
You think if we go up there and no one laughs? No, I don't care how good my joke is. That's what we want, affirmation. Believe me, every single person that walks on that stage is looking for affirmation. That's why we do what we do. Well, affirm me. If it was bad, let me know. But if it was great, tell me. And that's something that I got from this club that I didn't get from the other club. And that's like, hey, this was really successful. As a matter of fact, he said it was so successful, it was as highly attended as the weeks during peak season. That's how many people came out to see this murder mystery this weekend, this Saturday.
And I don't know if it's just because they're enjoying the show or because of the setup that there's a few mini intermissions and one slightly longer one, people spend more money than they do a normal comedy show. They buy more food, they buy more drinks. And that is, from the business standpoint, is obviously going to make the club owners happy. So, yeah, a huge, huge win for us. We have a lot coming in October. We just finished writing it. It's the Halloween theme one. We already have our club in Winchester, Bright Box Theater, offer us 5 dates for next year. So we have 6 dates already on the books for next year. We've got a military thing that hopefully we can announce full force officially next week. But things are looking up, Joe Robinson.
No doubt, no doubt. I'm proud of our product, but you know I don't want to spend too much time just kissing our own ass.
We had the one incident that I want to talk about with the lady.
Oh, go ahead.
So, as you guys know, in this, there's audience roles, and what we do is before the show, we kind of scope out the crowd and see who might be fun, who might do a good job, who might be against type, which makes it funny. You know, it's Eric's white. Let's make his dad black. Ha ha ha. So Katie hands out a role to this woman. And I guess
yes, this is the mistake that we made. And then I'll let you tell what happened. The mistake that we made was that the line was so long. As a matter of fact, if you go to my Twitter, I actually have a video of the line, and the line extends all the way out to the main street. It goes all the way through the parking lot to the main street. So we knew, well, you know, let's give out these roles looking at the entire crowd. We can go see them. They're in line right now. But what
with
we
nothing
didn't
to do.
Yeah, what we didn't take into consideration was that at the very end of the line, you know, those people might not make it in based on, you know, how many seats are left. Anyway, go ahead.
So, you know, everyone has a cue basically when they know it's their time to read their lines. Justin gives the cue. The woman who's supposed to at this point stand up and, you know, announce herself doesn't do that. He gives the cue again. Then he gives a more specific cue.
Well, the line is there anybody here who has anything else they can tell us about this murder? Anyone at all?
So he says that 2 or 3 times. Then he just pronounces the name of the character, Jessica Fletcher. It's from Murder, She Wrote. Nothing. And then, does anybody know who has that role? And so we don't know what to do. Joe runs out. He finds her notebook sitting on like the counter, the front desk counter.
Thank God, too, because we had a second show. If that lady absconded with the notebook, I don't know what we would have done.
So what had happened was she tried to get in with a Groupon, and this is a special event. You can't use your Groupon for that. And so I guess she refused to pay, which is bizarre to me. If I'm there, she's going to pay the friggin' price. Plus, she's got a role, so you feel now you're invested somehow. But instead, she just leaves and just puts the notebook down. So fuck you. No, it pisses me off. And then I actually made a joke afterwards about wouldn't it be funny if she actually, you know, got murdered tonight because of the murder mystery. And people laughed and clapped. So it's just, you know, tell someone if you're leaving. But who leaves? Could you imagine the embarrassment at that point of just, you're already there, you drove there, you waited in line, just pay $20 or whatever.
Yeah, we know that's what happened. I mean, is that?
Andrew told me, yeah. She couldn't get in with their Groupon, and then she just said, all right, and left.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that she couldn't get in because of how crowded it was.
No.
Wow, thank God she left the notebook. And she said nothing to no one. And Andrew saw that she had a notebook, and he didn't say anything. Okay.
I don't. Yeah, I guess he just didn't.
He doesn't watch the show, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he probably didn't know that we handed out a notebook. He also
had his hands full.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I love Andrew.
I think it's not a mistake, but I think now what we need to do every show is right before it starts, walk around and make sure everyone who has a role is ready and they know that we're about to start.
Oh, there's no way that's going to happen. What we're going to do instead is wait for the people to be in the room and then give the rollout. We can't give the rollout and then go back to all those people. It's already a pain in the ass to go to every single table and explain to them what to do.
Not explain, just to see they're still there, you know.
Right. Well, yeah. We've had that problem once in, 50, 60 shows? But we can. There's a way to defend against that, and that's wait until they're in their room and at their seats.
No, but that's still, you know, suddenly they get violently ill when they're in the bathroom or they get a phone call, they have to leave. I mean, but there's still room for that.
This reminds me of, you know, it's like the shooting at Virginia Tech. So this is an incident that's like, what's it, one in a million, right? So they changed the entire way, the entire system in which emergencies are proliferated, or what's the word I'm looking for, are exposed to the students, right? It's just this reactionary thing. We got it solved. If they come in and we hand them the role, then yes, we can't base everything we do on these outliers. If somebody becomes violently ill and leaves, yes, obviously if that happens, that's an extenuating circumstance. We can't prepare for every extenuating circumstance.
Okay, Joe, it's 30 seconds to walk around. Oh, there he is. There she is. There. Is there is
it, this is that. Typical
yeah, it's not okay What's it's that? Not it, I can't imagine an easier thing to do than that.
All right, well then you can do that.
I'll gladly do it. It's gonna take me there's that person who's the that's that guy's there, there's the notebook.
The easier thing to do is to pick them out when they're in the room.
That's right. Of course. Of course that's what you do.
Yes, but I mean, okay,
in that club last night, Rob, It would take you 30 seconds.
That's crazy to think you'd do that. I mean, look.
If I knew who I picked, yeah. If we gave them the roles when they were sitting down, I knew they were sitting, yeah.
Okay, you know, we've handed out probably 400 roles. We had this issue happen one time. Now we know not to hand them out until they get into the room. Now you want to walk around to every single person and make sure that they're there? I mean, that's crazy. we have it
yes,
solved.
Yes,
and it still doesn't solve the problem of any extenuating circumstances.
No, well, yeah,
if the person gets sick, you can't. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah, we're not doing that. I mean, you can do that if you want to, but I'm not doing that. I'm not walking back around to the people that I handed notebooks to make sure that they're still there. I'm not going to do that.
Okay. Well, I've always done that when I gave out the roles because I don't know. I want to make sure everyone's good to go.
Okay. I mean, I there's a million things that could go wrong. Do you want to recheck the mics before we go into the stage? Do you want to flip the lights on and off to make sure? I mean, that we can't have this type of redundancy. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
The reason
that was
a problem.
I can't imagine an easier thing to do. It doesn't change
to walk
anything.
Around to every single person that we is inside.
It's five to seven people. You say that.
Yeah, but they're spread out all over the room to make sure that they're still there.
Okay. Whatever. Most of our rooms are half the size of a Goobies. Okay. You know how hard it is to walk around Brightbox? 100 people, that's hard to do?
Listen, I'm getting frustrated for no reason.
Well, you're acting like that's hard to do that, Joe.
It's not that it's hard to do. It's dumb. It's dumb.
Why
to
is
just
it
invent
dumb?
Because you can't safeguard against everything that could potentially happen, Rob. That's silly.
Safeguards against everything. It's just safeguarded from the initial thing.
What if tomorrow, what if the next show we have, a circuit breaker goes out? What if a show after that, a tile falls from the ceiling? You understand, this is an outlier, which we've already prepared for by saying, let's not give out the roles until we go back in the room. Now we're going to be walking the room to make double check that everybody is still going to do the role that we gave them a short time ago?
Not double check that they're still there. They have the notebook. They're still actually in the building. Not talk to them and go through it again.
Got it.
Okay. You know what? I'll do it.
This is a silly argument.
Yeah, it is silly. It's silly that you think this is some crazy request.
Of course it is, Rob. I mean, I'm not.
I'm legitimately pissed off.
Okay.
So
I don't get, who cares? I'm telling you, Rob, we're the ones who go out there and do that. I know that you've done it before. I'm telling you, that's never happened. It's a 1 in 400. Now, every single show, we have to walk around to every single person because of something that happens 1 in 400 times. By the way, we've also addressed it by making sure that we don't give people roles until they come into the room. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. Whatever. That's fine. If you're legitimately pissed off, I'm sorry. You could be pissed off.
Okay. Okay. It just seems like to me you're automatically walking around the room anyways before the show. I mean, why wouldn't you just have your eyes open? Okay, and just mental note. Okay. You're already walking the show. We're doing
I
this.
I understand.
Is this that? Is this, are we almost done?
I understand.
Does everyone have a fucking sheet? You're not, it's in your natural thing to do is walking around pre-show.
Well, no, of course it is. If we whatever, this is.
But while doing that, you can make a mental note. Okay.
Like I said, this is addressed. What we're doing is addressed. If you also want to walk back to those people and make sure they're still in the room, again, I think that is, you can't, I'm just repeating myself. Okay, that's fine. If you want to do that, we'll do it.
All right. Look, Robbie, you think I'm being crazy?
I always think that you tend to be overly cautious about these things.
Yes, I don't. I think that's a good thing.
And I am more like you. Robin, I am more like you than Joe in this respect. Okay, and I still think you're being crazy.
Okay, Marcus, what do you think? Having never seen the show.
I think, Rob, you care more for the show than Joe does.
I don't believe that. No, I know.
I think that in this particular circumstance, I have to side with Joe, and I think that you can't. I understand your want and need to try to cover all your bases. I think that you just have to get to a point where you draw a line and you go, we've covered as much as we possibly can. And these 1 in 1,000.
It's happened one time in 2.5 years.
You're just going to have to let it fly.
2.5 years. But we're not letting it fly, Marcus. It's happened one time in 2.5 years. And the reason that it happened was because we gave roles out in line and we remedied it the next show.
I know. And you didn't care enough to go in there and double check whether or not those people were seated there.
I'm not blaming anyone. It's just that.
No, I'm not. By the way, listen, you learn when you do these things. Adding that kind of work to the show, and I understand you say, hey, it's nothing. I understand. But like, as an example, I had to pull name out for the drawing for the free tickets, pull name out for the free T-shirts, pull name out for the give for the club. And I didn't do that. And that ended up being a very big deal to Andrew. So, you know, we have these things that are added to each additional show. Adding something that really is we're trying to safeguard against, which we already have, about something that's happened once in 3 years. Yes, you're right. I think that's overkill. But again, I mean, this is my level of anger. I shouldn't be here. So whatever. If that's important to you, Rob, I'll walk around the room again.
All right. It's only important to me because that's fresh in my mind. So now I don't want to be worried about that happening again.
Well, if you are worried about that, then that's something you should need to talk to with a therapist about. Once in 3 years is not something we need to worry about. And we've also safeguarded against it. God, what am I doing? I'm not going to keep repeating this.
Okay, I'm just saying I've never lost my wallet. And if I did, the next time I have my wallet on me, I'm going to be grabbing at my ass every 10 seconds.
You mean just do something like not ever give ticket, not ever do something with your wallet that you did that one time that caused it? Is that what you might do?
I'm saying I would be overcautious.
Okay.
In the immediate future.
Well, I agree that you are being overcautious.
Be fresh in my mind. Fair enough. Let's take a break. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Captain Cupcake says in chat, best stuff.
Hey, can you edit that down to about 1 minute, please?
Nope.
Okay. Do you think...
That's up to Marcus, actually, but I think it's all going in.
I agree.
No, I think it's too much. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you think that's good radio, Joe?
No, I don't.
Well, Joe always hates it when there's a real argument.
But also the same thing was said 10 times. I mean,
I'm telling you, when people are truly upset, it's very compelling to listen to. I'm telling you guys.
Okay. All right.
I think it is compelling.
Okay, well, let's argue again. Anything else that's pissing you off? Let's have another argument.
There was an argument on the bonus show.
Yeah.
That wasn't an argument.
But I know I have Robbie. Well, first of all, Joe, even if we agree, Robbie's going to do what he's going to do. So it doesn't even matter. I mean, we could say edit it down, and I'll bet my life he's not going to edit 1 second.
Like, again, we have anything to do with content.
Right. This is Marcus's responsibility this week, the regular show. So,
well, Marcus, what do you think? You're in the business. You know about podcasts and radio and what's good content.
Oh, I'm going to leave it in. No, I think this was a good conversation. I understand where Joe is coming from, but at the same time, you need that repetition just adds to the level of frustration you feel in the room. The tension as it builds until final climax, and then whoa, that's good stuff.
It isn't anywhere near the maddest I've ever gotten on this show. That was at Robbie.
I tried to beat you the rant.
Oh, that was legendary. Yeah. Are you gonna ask me to have David Koechner read the both sides of this conversation?
We're gonna have two actors dramatize it again.
Tiffany have Mike Chamberlain and the female movie reviewer. There you go.
Yeah, well, I hope the Russian hackers enjoyed that. So Super Bowl picks. We do this every year. I don't think we've ever got it exactly right. I mean, not that that's bad. It's hard to do. But just to review, last year we had all four of us and our others give picks. Five of us had a team winning the Super Bowl that didn't even make the playoffs, so that's not good. But to review, I had Green Bay over Kansas City. If you've forgotten, by the way, New England beat Atlanta. I had Green Bay over Kansas City. Joe had Carolina over Pittsburgh. Tawanda had Redskins over Patriots. Katie had Chiefs over Packers. Marcus had the Panthers over the Pats. Your wife, Elise, Pats over Seahawks. Robbie, Cardinals over Texans. And Cecilia, Bears over Colts. The worst
neither
pick.
One of those teams, yeah, made the...
Yeah, I'm
the
sorry.
The Bears won about four games, yeah.
Yeah. So, this year, Tawanda and I, without talking, almost have we do have the exact same Super Bowl, just a different winner. I have Seattle over Pittsburgh. She has Pittsburgh over Seattle.
I also have Seattle.
Okay.
I have Seattle versus the Ravens. Now, I don't really believe that, but I would like to be able to root for the Ravens all year. I don't believe that the Redskins have an opportunity to win the Super Bowl this year. So I'm going to go Seattle versus the Ravens with Seattle winning the Super Bowl.
All right. Do you have a Katie pick?
I do. Katie, it's weird. Katie had Seattle versus the Raiders, and I was like, huh, I have Seattle too. And then she chose, no, and she changed both teams. So now she has Arizona versus New England. Let me see if she has the winner on here. Hold on. Oh, Arizona. Arizona winning it.
Oh, that's, you make some money on that pick.
Yeah, I picked that those Cardinals last year.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Not well.
All right. Robbie?
Okay, I have Ravens over Panthers. And my girlfriend has Patriots over Packers.
Wow.
A traditional.
Hey, what pick. If we got into a bigger fight about these picks than we did about what happened in the last segment?
All right. So, Shar, she has Patriots over Packers?
Patriots winning over the Packers.
Okay. And Mr. Serta.
I'm going to go for a rematch between Patriots and Atlanta.
Nice.
Which will be the first back-to-back rematch. But I think that Atlanta comes out on top and Brady is forced to retire.
Wow. That is not extra. That is not the first back-to-back matchup.
It isn't? What was it?
The Bills played the
Cowboys.
The Cowboys in back-to-back Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I thought that the Cowboys and the Steelers played each other in back-to-back Super Bowls. Am I wrong about that?
I can't remember. I don't think so.
But anyway, but it's definitely the Cowboys played the Bills, and the Bills actually lost four straight Super Bowls, all to NFC East opponents. One of them being the Washington Redskins.
That's correct.
Did you get your wife? I don't know. We didn't ask you till the last minute.
Yeah, you didn't give me the homework. But if you want, I do have, just for discussion's sake, the pros at Sports Illustrated have apparently put Patriots and Seattle in the Super Bowl with Patriots winning.
Excited for football.
See, now that Seattle is all over this, I feel like it can't happen. There's too many people picking Seattle.
By the way, Steelers and Cowboys back-to-back 79 and 80. That's from Jim Amato in chat.
No. Rams and the...
Yeah, you're right. Rams played the Steelers. Vince Ferragamo. 80s. Yep, you're absolutely right about that.
Amato's a Steelers fan. He should know all this.
Well, maybe he's just got the years wrong.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it is wrong. Yeah. All right. So there's that. What else do we have on the list? Oh, yeah, you went to the RenFest today, Joe.
I did. I went with Justin Schlegel. If you listen to the bonus show, there's going to be something that we're not going to discuss on here. But so it was myself and Katie and Justin and his girlfriend, Lindsay. And Justin, we go in there. He rented a costume. Now, it costs $30 to rent this costume. We're only there for 2 hours. He rents a costume. Now, I could tell as soon as he rented it, I knew it was a mistake. I knew it was, because it's funny when you put it on and when you come out and then you're wearing the costume the rest of the time. I mean, the joke's done. It literally is almost as soon as you put it on, it's over. He still made the best of it. What we did was we had a contest where you had to pick, here were the categories. And if you saw them, it was a point for each. And the first person to 10, they won. Here were the categories. Biggest tits. If someone was in a wheelchair or had a walker and also was in costume, you got a point.
Nice.
Anybody who was steampunk, you know, not RenFest, but, you know, wearing a top hat and all that crap. If you saw someone throw up or cry, by the way, I had a crier. I had one. if you saw nerds making out, saw that too.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
If you saw two people speaking to one another in Old English, yes, m'lady. You know, we saw you got that. If you saw a black nerd, so that means it had to be, it could just be a nerd. It had to be a black person dressed up in the garb.
Yep.
That was a point. And if you saw a group that was three or more, you got 5 points.
That's huge.
If you saw a midget dressed in costume, they couldn't just be there. If you saw a proposal, I think that was 5 points.
Did you get the midget? Did anybody get the midget?
No. If you got 2 points for every photo bomb photo you ruined, you got 2 points. Smallest big tatas. What that was is if somebody had no breasts, but they pushed them up to where they almost looked like they had them, you got a point every time you saw that. Topless dudes. And then if you saw somebody walking on all fours. So those were the categories. Now, it ended up that myself, Justin, and his girlfriend, Lindsay, were all tied at 9 going into, so, you know, in the next person, they got a point one. I saw a topless dude. I won it. I had, of my 10 points, 5 were topless dudes. I was just picking them off. Boom, 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 topless dudes.
You know how to find them, Joe.
All over the place. Now, The other thing that I realized, I mean, it was a lot of fun, actually. It was packed. I think it was the first weekend for it, and it was just mobbed with you know, the people watching was outstanding. There's a lot of things you can do there. You know, you can climb up a wall. You can eat a turkey leg. You can ride an elephant. You can also do a blow dart. And you get seven. On these targets. Yeah. And if you knock five targets over with seven blow darts, then you win a prize.
That sounds awesome.
I wasn't able to knock over any. Neither was anybody else. But I hit five out of seven. I had no idea. I'm amazing at blowing. I was the best by far. Nobody was even close to me. Now,
so you have a hidden talent of a blow dart specialist.
Not as easy as you think because there's no sight. You know what right. I mean? You're closing one eye. You can't really sight this thing. But after I was walking away, and there was a girl and a guy walking up, and I wasn't talking to them. And I go, who would have thought I'd be that good at blowing, right? And the girl goes, I figured you were going to be good at that. It's just some random girl just shitting on me as I walk. Insinuating, I guess it was some sort of gay joke. I have no idea. But I didn't know who this person was. I was also with a group of people. She's just somebody walking by just taking a shot at me as I walk by.
I like her. Can you get her on the show, Robbie?
I liked her, too.
Was she attractive?
You know what? She wasn't a one. I mean, she was like a seven.
Does that turn you on a little bit for the girl that she's going to take a shot at you like that?
Right. No, that I'll tell you what, though. This is the truth. If you were even like me and you, right? What the hell was that? You don't have to walk. You don't have to be Brad Pitt. You don't want to be, you know, the worst of the worst. But if you're just an average looking guy, there is just the people there, the girls there, they just look like just slut after slut after slut, just walls and walls. But it's nerd sluts, but they're not, I mean, they're not like fours and fives. I mean, there are some that are kind of cute. They're just nerds and they're slutty. So, you know, heaven forbid, you know, Katie ever falls off a cliff or something, I'm going straight to the Renfest. I'm not going online. There are a lot of guys in there that's their stage. You know, they're wearing no shirt. They're disgusting. You know what I mean? They're wearing a sash of sorts or whatever. They're dressed up in the puppy pants, but they have beards with those big gauges in their ears. But this is their, you know, this is their Woodstock. But it happens every single year, and they just go there and just destroy all these nerd chicks. You got to. They figured it out a little bit. So you know, maybe they had their head in the toilet a lot in high school. Maybe their waistband was up high, but they figured it out.
So you're telling me if there's a place to go where the easiest place for you to hook up, you have to have sex either in a bathroom, in a car, behind a tree, somewhere on the property. It's not going to be at some concert. It's not going to be at a comedy show, at a bar, at a strip club. It's going to be at the Renfest.
Yeah, that's right. If you know, heaven forbid, you know, Katie says, I'm done with you. Or, you know, I mean, again, it'd take me a while to recover from her passing. But after that, I'm going straight to the Renfest.
How long do you think it'd take you to recover?
Long time. I'm dead serious. I'd be in a fetal position for quite a long time. Well, I'm not getting another Katie. You know what I mean?
Right.
So whatever I go to next is just going to be, you know, several rungs below. So that's going to be, yeah, that would be, I mean, we're talking, I mean, there might be in excess of a year before I'm able to recover from that.
Do we have an answer from Gramps on how many boobs he needs to see to hang him up?
He wouldn't commit.
All right. He's holding out. Hey, did you see the email, the string here, Joe, about our fantasy football league?
I did, but is it? Oh, and it's an email. No, I didn't.
So I just emailed everyone in our league about just some administrative thing about you can pick up players now off waivers. And Frank, Katie's dad, says,
oh, my. God.
To all, has Tim committed suicide yet? I have a friend who wants to join.
Oh my God.
So now you've turned him into a dick as well. Nicest guy ever. Actually, he messes with you, but now he's just taking on Tim. Oh, Tim has an answer. Let me see. That's something to something else. Good for you, Frank. And no, he has not committed suicide yet.
Wow. Man, he went from 0 to 100 quick.
Yeah, he did. All right, that's the show. Joe, I'm sorry for yelling at you. So,
I accept your apology.
Hopefully we can make it up. It's just that's just in my mind how I think you just would walk around. I probably would do that even if this didn't happen. Just something I would do. But you.
Well, my thing is more, you know, why am I so upset? So that's more, that's a Joe Robinson thing. But I already told you before the show, I'm already angry. I got other things going on.
Right.
But I don't think I have anger issues, but I am angry today. If you listen to the bonus show, you'll figure out. I had a lot of things to be angry about. Matter of fact, when I walked out of here after doing the bonus show, my dad goes, "Are you okay? Are you arguing with somebody?" I guess he didn't know we were doing the bonus show. He just heard me in here screaming. But this time it wasn't at Robbie, which is that's the best thing because, you know, that's actually I don't like arguing with you as much as I don't like arguing with Robbie. I wish it was with Marcus.
But none of the anger and issues that we had today or on the bonus show revolved around Robbie.
That's crazy. And he loves it, too. He loves the argument. This time he's not in it. By the way, even when he's in it, he doesn't care. He still loves that it happened. So,
I care, and the famous rant, I couldn't listen back to it, but I still know that it was good radio.
But at what point, Robbie, if Joe and I had one of those every week, at what point would you say, guys, I'm worried about, you know, your friendship?
He'd love
it. More important things, or would you never get to that point?
Well, I think that you see, if you guys did that every week, it would get old. It's interesting because it doesn't happen that often.
Well, no, you're right. Rob and I have ever been in an argument on the show.
You have had heated discussions, but not an argument like that.
Yes. Yes. And I know what made me upset.
What made you upset?
It's not that you disagree with, and this has made me upset in other arguments, not with you, just in general. It's not that you disagree, is that you think that that's just a ridiculous idea.
Just double check. You know, it's funny you say that because I say that often. It's like I say that all the time in my arguments. I go, I don't necessarily need you to agree with me. I want to be understood. So I get that. I get it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I don't think it's ridiculous, but I get what you're saying about wanting to be understood. Hey, one more thing. If you do listen to the bonus show, you told, if I'm not mistaken, Rob, the story you told about the person that was going to be in your driver improvement class that you thought was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Was that on the bonus show or the regular show?
Bonus.
I told that on the regular show.
Okay. So Robbie went and found that person. He found him.
Well, we didn't talk to him yet, but maybe we will.
Turns out he's a doctor.
God, I hate that guy.
No, we're not going to talk to that guy, are we?
I can't lose my job.
Yeah. We know what nationality he is now. We know a lot about him.
What nationality is he? I didn't read the article. I just saw a picture. He looks like Monahan. What's Bill Monahan? That's who he looks like.
he's Dutch.
Okay. Well, I was in the.
Yeah, no, he's in there. I mean, it's close. He was wearing wooden shoes when he came in, Robbie. I mean, Rob.
Yep. doesn't he look pretentious, Robbie?
Oh, God, I hated him. I already hated him. Then when I found out that was him, I'm like, oh, that fucking dick.
Yeah, I also know why he's so uptight. He studied in Germany.
Okay.
You know, that's a place where everybody's very precise and everything has to be exactly correct, you know.
But, I mean, look at that last name. I'm supposed to just nail that over the phone with an accent?
Yeah. I think the last three letters are JFF.
Yes, there's nothing. But
that doesn't even make a sound in our language.
No.
How are we supposed to
That's
know?
That's not
that?
Even an acronym for anything. It's the Jewish Federation of Federations. No, that's never together, those three letters.
Yeah, his last name, I think, is German, and his first name is actually Swedish.
He's as confused, and he's Dutch. So his names are German and Swedish, and he's Dutch. We're supposed to know that?
And IJ, the other letter before that, IJ never go together.
Idge? But that's the thing. If there's no vowel, no sound can be made. I mean, I guess F is.
But what's a word with IG connected?
You mean IJ?
I mean, yeah, I'm sorry. IJ. IJ, yes.
Hmm.
Its last four letters are IJFF. There's not even two F's together.
Well, there's going to be that. Muffin, come on.
Okay.
But, but yeah, the JFF is where. All right, whatever. You can't take this. You've established it.
F that guy. IJFF that guy.
He's in the chat, by the way.
Very well. Probably.
I know, but it says the Swede, so that's clearly not him.
All right, we'll see you next week if we're, still friends. Later.
All right, later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.